today.
All right. Thank you, Pastor. All right. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you this morning. And I'm glad that we could come be a part of your service today. It's been refreshing and encouraging to us. The choir singing this morning by the choir, and then the special and the congregation singing. And I'm from the South. I'm a North Carolina boy. I love singing. And I don't ever ask anybody if they like my singing. I just sing. And I love it. The Bible says, have a song in your heart to the Lord. And also says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I love singing. And thank you, brother, for leading the music. Thank you for everything. This morning's been great. And I've enjoyed Sunday school. And I'm honored that we could be here with you this weekend. My wife thoroughly enjoyed yesterday, today, speaking to the ladies. And we always love being in brand new churches that we've not been in before, meeting new people. And I guess 8 years ago, if you would have told me that we would be traveling doing what we're doing now, I would have said, there's just no way. And that's just not us. That's just not who we are. I was pastoring a church at the time, never dreamed that one day I would have to leave that church and then go from church to church to church to church every single year of our life. And but that's what we've been doing for the last 7 years. And I must say, without any regrets, we love it. And God's been very good to us, and we praise the Lord for it. And I love God's house. I love God's people. And this is a highlight of our week, being able to start the week out in God's house. And I thank God for that. And we have a ministry called Treasure Trials. And I know you know a little bit about us. I'm sure your pastor's mentioned. But I did bring a table in the back of the auditorium, some things on the table back there. And there's some prayer cards, brochures. We'd love for you to go by and get one of those when you leave this morning. And there are some sermon CDs, some lessons my wife and I both have taught, and DVDs if you feel those could be a help to you. Or if you know somebody going through a tremendous trial in their life, and maybe they're not here, but you'd like to pass something along just in hopes of being a help and encouragement to them. I know how I feel whenever I'm going through some tremendous things in my life. It's always encouraging to me just to get a phone call, a little note in the mail, or just a text message, an email. Hey, I love you and I'm praying for you. Is there anything I can do for you? And so we only do that just for that reason. And but we're thankful we could represent our ministry here today. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about that this morning. So if you want to take your Bibles and open them up to Luke chapter 23, and then hold your place there, we'll ask you to turn to John chapter 19 as well. And I'm going to give you a little of my testimony this morning. But also, I do it entwined in a message today that I want to leave with you today. And I'm sure there's a lot of people here. People say, what is Treasure Trials Ministries all about? And it's a ministry that through a trial that came into our life 8 years ago, God allowed us to be able to take our trial and now, with the help of the Lord, encourage other people when they too are going through trials in their life. And I pastored a church out in Marysville, Washington, out just north of Seattle for 15 years. And 8 years ago, I ended up having to resign that church, and not of my choosing, but just because of the condition of health that I was in. And just a very hard decision. You know, when you've done something 15 years of your life, and then you have to give it up and leave it. And not because you want to, because you want to stay real bad. And but you give it up, you leave, it's devastating on you. And well, we've tried to take some of the devastating things we've gone through and turn them into blessings in lives, and help people, encourage people. And so that's what we try to do with our ministry. And every weekend, I promise you, we find churches all over America that are full of people that are going through all kinds of trials and difficulties in their life. And we just want to reach out to them. We just want to let them know we love them. We care about them. We're in the same family of God together. And the Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens. And I believe we're supposed to help each other that way, and lend a hand, and sometimes give a hug, and give counsel, and pray with someone. And that's the joy of our life. I found out if life's all about me, it's not going to be very good. And life must be about everybody else and helping them. That's the way our Lord was. He lived here on earth. And what we have recorded of just the 3.5 years, you imagine if we had all the books that hold everything that he did on earth, we would be so amazed. We'd be so ashamed, I can tell you for sure. But thank the Lord for that. I know not maybe everybody can and will, but if you could stand this morning, we're going to read some scripture here. Luke chapter 23, we'll begin reading in verse number 44. And it was in about the sixth hour, there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now, when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God. In other words, he just spoke up in the crowd and said, God, I just want to give you glory for what I've just seen and witnessed with my own eyes. And then he made this statement, certainly this was a righteous man. Now, what the centurion was saying here was just to the crowd, folks, if you didn't realize it, we just saw a godly, righteous man teach us what I believe is the greatest lesson of life. Make sure when you end your life, you end it right. You end it well. And every one of us are going to have an end to our life sometime. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. None of us know when the end of our life is going to come. Mine could be today. If that's the case, I want to give it all I got. I want to do everything in my power to make sure that God gets the glory. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so very much for the good service we've already enjoyed this morning, being around God's people, singing the songs of the Lord. And now we've come to the preaching. Lord, there's two things that I have heavy on my heart. Number one is I just want to bring glory to you and please you today. And then number two, if you would in somehow, some way allow me to be a help and a blessing to God's people today, I would just greatly be enthused of that. We ask this in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you so very much. We all have some dark times that come in our life. If I were to ask to raise your hand, how many in this room this morning has had in your lifetime some dark days come in your life? Dark days, I mean times of life that are heavy, they're hard, things that we have to go through, we wish we didn't have to go through, loss of a loved one, hear bad news. You ever get a phone call at midnight, 1, 2 in the morning, and the first thought in your mind, well, it's not going to be good. Because nobody calls you at that time of night and says, hey, just wanted you to know I love you and I'm praying for you. If they do, something's wrong with them. Amen. Call me back at 8 in the morning when I get up, you know. We just are trained to think that way. We're trained to think negatively about events that happen in our life. And that's how it happens. But we know here, we read about our Savior who also had some very dark times in his life. You know, a lot of the world probably thinks that Jesus never had a bad day. But he had a lot of bad days. I mean, people spit on you. They lie about you. They crucify you. They bring harm and hurt to you. When you're born into the world, they tell you, sorry, no place for you. I mean, rejection. He had multitudes of days in his life that we would call probably dark days. But I believe what we read in Scripture this morning is the darkest day that anybody's ever had. Jesus Christ experienced it. That was when he died on Calvary's cross. Now, we can never liken our dark times of life to what Jesus went through. But I'll tell you what I have learned, that when we do go through dark days of life, the best person to learn from on how do you get through dark days of life is Jesus Christ. He's the best teacher. I mean, there's no better teacher in school. I had a lot of great teachers in school, and some I liked, some I didn't like because they gave homework, you know, and some wouldn't let us play much, you know, and all kinds of things like that. But I thank God for the teachers I had. You know, what I've learned today, I look back now with lots of praise, not regrets. Think, wow, boy, even though it was hard, praise God, they taught me these things. I can read, I can write, I can spell, I can speak, and even though ain't's not in the spelling book, you know, and we all have those things in our life. But there's no better teacher that I've ever found in my Christian life than Jesus Christ. And by the way, there's going to come a day when all of us need him. Well, in my life, that day came 8 years ago. I went in for a routine knee surgery. It's supposed to be. I had a torn meniscus, and the doctor said, oh, we're going to give you a spinal epidural instead of putting you all the way to sleep that day. And I said, okay, sounds good. I just want to be out of pain. I don't want to have any more misery anymore. And so we showed up at the hospital. They got me hooked up to IVs. The doctor came in and gave me the spinal epidural, and I went into surgery. Came out of surgery. Doctor said everything went great. Never thought in my mind that anything was going to go not good. Went home that afternoon, and when I got home that evening, I began to have so much pain from a headache, and the headache turned into pain that went up and down my back spine, and my spine just literally felt like somebody had a torch was holding it to my back, and I couldn't figure it out. I had knee surgery, but why in the world does my back hurt so much, and my head? And ended up had a headache for 6 months. My wife finally came over. She lifted up back of my shirt and said, "Well, what in the world?" Oh my goodness. She said, "Honey, when you had your epidural today, how many epidurals did they give you?" And I said, "Well, I'm assuming one." Well, my wife began to count all the holes in my back from where the doctor missed my epidural space 6 times. And she began to count all the missed punctures. And then we kind of figured out, now I think we know why we're having all this pain. We ended up back at the doctor's office. The doctor sent us to a neurologist. Finally, a neurologist said, "I think we're going to have to check you for a condition called arachnoiditis." Never even heard of the word in my life. I said, "What is that?" And they said, "Well, it's trauma to the epidural spine area of the in your back." Finally, about several months later, I ended up at a doctor in Birmingham, Alabama, after seemed like nobody could ever figure out what's going on. By this time, I'm so sick. I'm in so much pain. I can't hardly sit still. I can't stand still. I just lay on the couch and scream in pain almost 24 hours a day. The doctor looked at my back and he said, "Oh my goodness, Mr. Campbell, I don't think in all my some 40 years of practice that I've ever seen anybody's back so messed up from a spinal epidural." He said, "The doctor just kept puncturing into your spine canal, missed the epidural space, went past that, went into your spine canal. While you're in the operating room, spine fluid leaked out and blood seeped into those holes and got into your spine canal. And now you have blood clots around your nerves encapsulated in your spine." I said, "Okay, doc, okay, we know all that's done, but what do we do to get rid of the pain?" Well, my wife and I were not ready for what he was telling us. He said, "Well, I'm sorry. I'd know of no way to get rid of it." He said, "I've seen this multitudes of times." And he said, "Unfortunately, this is something that I don't know a cure for." I said, "Whoa, wait. This can't be happening to me." We come to find out that right before I went into surgery that day, the anesthesiologist doctor who gave me the epidural had messed up the patient who was already in the operating room. She got her medicines mixed up, and instead of helping the young man come back awake from being asleep for surgery, she gave him a medicine in his IV that he was allergic to. And he ended up having convulsions and seizures, was in an ambulance, being taken to a hospital. Then she comes into my room, and I think she just had so much on her mind that when she gave me my epidural, that's what caused her to miss so many times. The doctor then looked at me and said, "Mr. Campbell, I'm sorry, but you have an incurable disease that you'll live with the rest of your life." He said, "You're going to find out that the pain's going to get real bad and real fast." He said, "I'm not God, but I'm just telling you my expert opinion. I don't know, but what maybe someday you might be crippled for life, bedridden or wheelchair bound for life." Now, I'm pastoring my church. I'm having the time of my life. I'm doing things that I dreamed of doing for years of my life. And now all of a sudden, it seems like everything's coming to an end. I came back to Seattle, went in the pulpit of my church, and I knew it wasn't going to be long that I was going to have to give up the thing that I love the most. I became so sick, I had so much pain. And I ended up having to resign my church. And then we traveled for about a year all over America trying to find a doctor or a clinic or somebody that could help us. But everywhere we went, we got the same response. Unfortunately, Mr. Campbell, because your injury was brought about because of a doctor's mistake, we will not be allowed to treat you at our facility because our insurance malpractice will not let us touch you. Mayo Clinic, Cleveland Clinic, Johns Hopkins, Duke Medical Center. Everywhere we went, we got the same response. I've never felt so alone in all my life. And then the day came when we resigned our ministry there. Because of all that, I remember one morning in my house, I couldn't sleep through the night. I was so hurting. Not only was I hurting, but I was so depressed. I'd never been so low in all my life. I never thought I would pray the prayer that I'm about to tell you that I prayed. Never in my life did I ever think once I would ever pray that. But because I was so sick and so much pain and having to give up so much of my life, about 5 o'clock in the morning, I just prayed, not out loud, but in my heart. I said, God, I can't take anymore. It's bigger than me. I'd be better off, Lord, if you'd just come and take me home. And I begged God that morning to take me home. Just a few minutes after I prayed that prayer, nobody heard it. My son Jack, who's here, he was about 5, 6 years old at that time. He come running down the steps from up in the lobby. Now, it's 5 in the morning in Seattle. The sun doesn't come up till 9 a.m. If you've ever been in the Northwest, you know, it's a long time. And he said, Dad, man, I'm so sorry you're hurting, Daddy. He said, I just wish there was something I could do for you. I said, buddy, you going back to bed. Everything's going to be all right. He didn't go back to bed. He reached out and he grabbed my hand and he just held it and just kind of rubbed it for a little while. 6-year-old. And he said, Dad, I know what I can do. I'm going to pray for you. He dropped his head right in the middle of my chest. And I'm just amazed and I'm observing. And yeah, I'm in pain, but I'm just like, what has come over this kid? And he just prayed this prayer. Dear God, my dad's hurting awful bad. And I don't want to see my dad hurt. Would you please take his pain away and give him a better day? Amen. He kissed my cheek and said, I love you, Dad. Don't worry about anything. It's all going to be good. I'm going back to bed. Just like that. Boy, as soon as he did that, I got so convicted. And I remember what I prayed. I said, Lord, you know what I prayed a while ago? I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it. I want to live. I want to live. By the way, nothing's changed in my mind. I still have that disease I live with every day of my life. No doctors know how to fix it or get rid of it. But I know one who can. And his name's Jesus. I wish I could stand here this morning and tell you that I'm 100% better. But by the way, if you'll come back tonight, I'll tell you how that I am 90% better than I've ever been in just 1 year's time. It's a miracle in itself. But when we go through dark days, that morning when I prayed, I reached over to my coffee table and I picked up my Bible and it opened up to Luke 23. Don't tell me that God doesn't know what he's doing. And I read about his son who went through a very dark day too. And he taught me that morning, how am I going to get through life's darkest days? Number one, I want you to show me what God taught me that morning. Let's go back to verse number 33 in our text here. And we'll come to John in just a minute. But look at verse 33. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, the malefactors, one on the right, one on the left. Verse 34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When I read that, boy, did it stick out to me. Father, here's Jesus hanging on the cross. He's crying with a loud voice. It's dark. Nobody can even see each other. All they can hear is my Lord crying out with a loud voice because he's in pain, agony, misery. He's dying, pulling his last breaths of his body. Right before that, he says, Father, forgive them. They didn't mean it. Just forgive them. And God taught me, Kirby, you know what? The way the world looks at it, a doctor messed you up. A doctor made a mishap. And by the way, can I just tell you, there are no mishaps with God. God already knew before that happened that day that what was going to happen was going to happen. But I didn't. And God taught me, number one, when you go through life's darkest days, you better learn how to forgive when you get hurt. You have to learn how to forgive. Yeah. I'll tell you, in 7 years of traveling, we have traveled America. I've been in so many churches. I have met numerous amounts of people who've been harmed or hurt or injured in their Christian life. But they've never gotten victory over this thing of forgiveness. Sometimes it can get even worse. A year after I was diagnosed with this condition, and it was brought on by a doctor's error, an attorney named David Gibbs of Christian Law Association flew out to our church, and he met with me and my family, our church, and helped us in so many ways. And he sat my family down and said, you know, would you mind if we do a little investigation behind this clinic, this doctor, and because we need to make sure that this kind of thing doesn't happen anymore. Amen. I said, you do whatever you feel is necessary. He called us back one day in the week and said, could you meet me in downtown Seattle? I'm bringing several of our attorneys. We're going to meet in a room and I want to introduce you to them. We have some news to share with you. Well, we went down there, my whole family and I, we got in that room that day. And as soon as we sat down, he stood up and said, I'm sorry to bring you here and tell you this bad news. Boy, as soon as he said that, I thought, I don't even want to hear it. I already had enough bad news. He said, Mr. and Mrs. Campbell, and to our two boys, he said, we've investigated this doctor that did this to you for 1 year since this happened to you. He said, since your procedure, that same doctor has now messed up 13 more patients. And right now there are 13 ongoing lawsuits against that doctor and that clinic. I'll be honest with you. I began to get angry. I thought, how can this be fair? And I have to give up my lifelong dream of pastoring a church. And yet that doctor can keep going on and make mistake after mistake after mistake. And they don't lose their job. They don't lose their income nor their salary. But you know what I had to revert back to? What my teacher taught me. Father, forgive them. And by the way, I have victory. I'm not mad at a doctor. Because you see, if I was mad at a doctor and I held that against that doctor, I'm really holding that against my God. Because my God allowed it to happen. And my God makes no mistakes. And so whatever dark time comes in your life, it's no mistake. It's there because your teacher wants to teach you something. Forgive. Number two, I want you to hold your finger here. Go to John 19. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, we have it written here by John, and it's the same story, same time that's going on. Jesus hanging on the cross right before he dies. Verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother, the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. Now don't miss that statement right there. Before Jesus finished his last breath and died on the cross, he made sure that his to-do list was completed. What was on his to-do list? The last thing he wanted to make sure was taken care of was his mother. Boy, what love a son had for his mother. He's on the cross hanging in misery and pain. He says, Mama, I'm getting ready to die and I'm not going to be here to look after you. Mama, you see John here? I've already talked to John. I've already set it up. You're going to go live with John, and John's going to take care of you for the rest of your life, Mama. And I didn't want to be a bad son. I didn't want to die until I knew, Mama, you were cared for. God taught me, number two, when you go through life's darkest days, don't be so consumed about your misery that you forget about your loved ones who are with you. You know, I've gone through the physical pain of this trial, but I've also watched my wife have to suffer too. And I've watched my boys. It's not been fun watching them watch me. And when I had to lose my job, my salary, my income, our insurance, everything, it put a lot of fear in my wife. How am I going to make it? Is my husband going to be an invalid the rest of his life? My boys probably thought, will our dad live through this? What's our life going to be? So I decided I'm not going to live my life just thinking about me and my pain. I'm going to work hard at still being a husband that loves his wife. And I'm going to be a dad that makes sure his kids are cared for. And by the way, God's allowed us to have 8 years, and it's been great and wonderful, and I wouldn't change anything for that. But can I tell you something? When you go through life's darkest days, don't let your pain, your misery, your trial consume you to the point that you neglect your loved ones. Number three, let's go back to Luke, if you would. Jesus hanging on the cross, and you remember that he's in the garden praying right before he goes there. Let's go to Luke 22. Before he ever gets to the cross, he taught me something while he was praying. He looked in verse 42 of Luke chapter 22, or verse 41, it says, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. He kneeled down and prayed. And he said these words, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. When I read that, wow, I wrote down number three. When we go through life's darkest days, don't live your life according to your will, but live it according to God's will. Because you see, if we had our way, we'd never have the trial to begin with. But you have to learn how to die to self. Jesus was just saying, oh, Father, I know what's coming. But I want to make it to Calvary. Don't let me die here in the garden. But if it be willing, let this cup pass. But if not, I just want your will to be accomplished. And I thought, wow, what a teacher. Number four, I want you to look with me in Luke 23 again, where we started out. Remember, there were two thieves on either side of Jesus, one on the right, one on the left. Three are being crucified. On the front of the pulpit, you see three crosses here. The middle one, of course, Jesus, and either one of the thieves on either side. They begin to say some awful things to Jesus and made accusations against him. But all of a sudden, one of those thieves looked up to Jesus and said, Lord, I believe you to be the Son of God. When you die, would you remember me when you enter into your kingdom today? Verse 41, verse 42, I love what Jesus said to him. And he says in verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily, or truly, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know what took place right there? A thief who was lost on his way to hell because he did not know Jesus as Savior, immediately put his faith in God and got his ticket punched to go to heaven. I believe when we all get to heaven, we're going to see one thief there, not two, only one. And by the way, he didn't get baptized to get there. He didn't join a church to get there. He didn't do any good deeds to get there. All he did was what all of us have to do. He just put faith in Jesus Christ. And here's Jesus on the darkest day of his life, in agony and pain, crying with a loud voice. But what's he doing? He's telling a thief how to go to heaven. I wrote down number four. When you go through life's darkest days, don't forget to follow the Great Commission. What's the Great Commission? what you're going to do in a few weeks on Saturday. You're going to saturate the whole area here with gospel tracts. You're going to do like the brother said this morning, out on the street yesterday, and somebody comes up, is that a Bible? And gives you a great opportunity to give them the gospel. But how many times have we neglected someone because we didn't feel good? Oh, just don't feel like going today. I wonder if Jesus probably didn't feel like dying that day. But there he is. And what's he doing? He's teaching us what you do when you go through life's hardest days. Don't forget, somebody near you is going to miss it. I've tried to use every opportunity since that time to tell people about Jesus. I remember a real bad day we were having. I was depressed, discouraged. I was hurting. I'd been to a doctor. The doctor couldn't do anything for me. We're walking through a mall just to kind of pass off time. And I'm walking through there. My cell phone's hanging on my side. And I go by a kiosk, and it's a Verizon cell phone network guy. And he's hollering, hey, you with the phone, come here, come here. I'm like, nah, I don't want to deal with no salesman today. Just not today for it. He said, you with the phone, just what service do you have? I just kept on walking. Then it dawned on me. I guess I'm going to deal with a salesman today. I walked over there and I said, sir, what was you hollering at me a while ago? He said, well, I saw your phone. I just want to know what service you have. I don't even know why I did it. I was already with Verizon. He didn't know that. I said, well, sir, I'm a pastor of a church, and on Sunday we have three services. Which service was you asking about? He looked at me like you can imagine, like, what are you talking about? I said, you asked what service I had, and I'm just telling you, we have one at 10, one at 11, one at 6. Which one are you interested in? No, I'm talking about the phone. I said, well, I'm talking about something more important than a phone. 40 minutes later, he bowed his head, asked Christ to come into his heart. Thank you, teacher. Thank you for being a good teacher. When I'm going through hard times in life, you put them in my path. I could have easily walked on, but thank you for being a good example. Number 5 and last, we go to John 19. We look at verse number 30. And I close with this. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. You know what my teacher taught me, number 5? No matter how dark your life might get, and how hard, how heavy, how hurt you might endure, don't forget, you make sure you finish. Don't quit. Have not all of us probably had some times we just wanted to quit? Just give up. Just throw in the towel. But aren't we glad our Lord never quit? He went all the way to the cross, endured all the pain, all the suffering. Why'd he do it? Because he wanted us to follow his example. I don't know what trial you're going through today. I don't know what heavy heart you have. But can I tell you something? Don't quit. Don't quit church. Don't quit God. Don't quit caring for your loved ones. Don't quit coming through those doors every time you have service. Don't quit opening up this book every day that you live. Don't stop witnessing to people every day you live. Don't quit. Aren't we glad Jesus didn't quit? What are you going to do when you go through life's darkest days? I want to be a finisher. I hope I don't have to go by the way of the grave, but if I did, and let's say they brought me in a church in a casket and laid me there. My wife and my boys came by. Boy, I don't even want to fathom that happening. But if it did, I sure hope everybody who came by and looked at me could say, boy, he sure suffered a lot. But I'll tell you something. He didn't quit. He hurt through life. He carried pain. Got rejected by doctor after doctor, clinic after clinic. But every Sunday, you'd find him somewhere preaching. Every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. Let's don't quit. Could we pray? Father, I ask this morning that you would encourage our hearts. There may be some who came to church today contemplating quitting, getting out of the race today, throwing in the towel. Life's just too hard. Life's just dealt me so much I can't handle it anymore. There might be some here this morning that's been carrying around some unforgiveness. Someone said something, hurt them. Someone did something. Maybe somebody did something, and maybe not intentionally, but we took it that way. And now we've got hurt feelings, and we've got hardness in our heart. And sometimes it's turned to bitterness. And Lord, just the sight of someone just builds up anger in me. And Lord, that's no way to live. What we don't realize is if we let ourselves get bitter, carry around a heart full of unforgiveness, we're only going to make our life more miserable than it already is. God, while we ought to be thinking about maybe someone like that thief that we work with, we live in a neighborhood with, they don't know Jesus. If I get bitter, I'll never tell them about Jesus. God, I want to confess this morning. I want to forsake that. And I want to get my heart cleaned up. And I want to say, God, I confess it to you. I'm not going to hold a grudge anymore. I'm not going to be bitter. I'm not going to be angry. I'm letting it go today. And I want to claim victory. Whatever the reason. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let me ask a question. Somebody might be like that thief. If you were to die today and you don't know 100% sure that you're going to go to heaven, can I tell you something? God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. And we don't want anybody to go to hell. But we don't know when life's going to end. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, how many could raise your hand and say, Brother Campbell, there's no doubt in my mind. I know 100% sure. If I were to die in the next minute, I know I'm going to heaven. No one's looking. Could you raise your hand all over the building? Hold it up. Hold it up. God bless you. Thank you. Put your hand down. No, no one's looking. I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't come back to you. But who would raise your hand right now and say, Brother Campbell, I just don't know 100% sure that I'm going to heaven, but I want to. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up real high and put it right back down? God bless you, sir. Somebody else this morning, raise it up. Don't be embarrassed. Like I say, I'm not going to embarrass you. Anybody else, raise it up. Anybody else, raise it up, put it right back down. I'm not sure. God bless you. I see that hand. Anybody else? I don't know for sure. God bless you. I see that. Thank you. I don't know what reason you might ought to come to the altar this morning. But here's what I'd like you to do. If you raised your hand right now and you said, I don't know 100% sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. In just a moment, I'm going to point to the piano player and she's going to begin playing. We're going to stand to our feet. I want you to step out of your seat and I want you to come down to the front. I'll be here. The pastor's here. I want you to know for sure, just like that thief. He only had a few seconds left. Boy, but I tell you what, he's rejoicing today because he made the right decision. And we want you to make the right decision before you leave here today. You can know beyond any doubt that you're on your way to heaven today before you leave. If you're here carrying around some bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart, I want you to get out of your seat and come down to the altar this morning in front. I want you to get on your knees and just say, God, I'm sorry. I confess it. I'm not going to carry it around anymore in my life. Could we stand to our feet this morning, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, the piano player plays right now? Some are already coming. Some are already coming. Would you just follow them? That's right. Just step out. Would you come this morning? God bless you.